We're going to start a series of messages on Advent leading up to Christmas. As Baptists, I think sometimes we don't know a lot of what Advent is, but we're going to look at it this morning. The first message, the gift of hope. This man up on the screen there is Charles Schulz. Maybe you've heard of him. He is the writer of the comic strips Peanuts. And I'd like to open with an illustration. I don't know if you've ever seen the Charlie Brown Christmas. You know, it's been around since 1965. Did you know that? That's a long time. Almost as long as Mackie, but anyway. Charlie Brown is in the midst of a Christmas crisis. Decorations have been up since Halloween. He says, you know, he just feels like all there's the secular things, the shopping, the cookies, the parties. And he says, you ever want to just stand up and shout in exasperation like Charlie Brown, isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? That's a very good question, isn't it? I don't know if you knew the background of, I just looked up the background of the Charlie Brown story, but Coca-Cola came to ABC and wanted to do a Christmas special. And they got their executives together and invited people to come in and give them some ideas. And Schulz was one of them, and he said, well, why don't we take the Charlie Brown character, which was immensely popular in that age time, immensely popular. And said, why don't we take the Charlie Brown theme and make a Christmas story out of it? And so Coca-Cola thought, okay, you know, maybe. And then he says, and let's put a Bible verse in it. Luke chapter 2. We'll read that verse in just a minute. And Coca-Cola at first thought, oh no, people won't go for this. But they said, can we take that out? And Schulz says, nope. If you want me to do this special, the Bible verse has to stay in to tell the meaning and the story of Christmas. And Coke finally agreed, and in 1965, which was 40 years ago, the first Peanuts, or Charlie Brown's Christmas story was told. And it's played every year since. Obviously very popular still today. But Charlie Brown is going through a lot of things. And in different, I'm reading this morning the different things he was going through. He was trying to find somebody. He was depressed. He was depressed. Charlie Brown, I think that's his personality. And he was depressed over things. And he went up to Lucy. And Lucy had her psychiatric stand up, giving counsel out, and suggested to Charlie Brown, well, why don't you go to the school and lead a production with the school children. So Charlie Brown took her advice, went to the school, and the kids were just like kids, and they were unruly and wouldn't listen to him. And so anyway, he was all discouraged. And after getting the Christmas tree and the kids not liking his little crummy Christmas tree, oh, by the way, Lucy sent him out to get a shiny silver tree, right? You ever remember those psychedelic silver trees? How many? Anybody still have one of those? One person? Is that all that will confess? I had one of those growing up. My dad and mom had one of those. But the lights shined on it. It was really psychedelic. But anyway. Lucy sent him out for that tree, but he came back with this scrawny little tree, and the kids rejected that tree. And he's standing on the stage. The kids and Lucy are all gone, and Linus is there. And he asked Linus, doesn't anybody know the true meaning of Christmas? And he wonders aloud this statement. Christmas, what's it really about? His best friend Linus sets him straight with a clear, straight answer from Luke 2, 8 through 14. And I'd like to ask you to turn there with me to Luke chapter 2 verse 8. The Christmas story. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said unto them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. At that statement, when Linus had quoted those verses, Charlie Brown found hope. And old Chuck had a change in heart when he discovered the true meaning of Christmas. Now, he goes from depressed by the season to inspired by it. He goes from an inward focus of questioning to an outward focus of sharing the season with others. And though the storyline continues, the story of the birth of Christ is the point of Charlie Brown's Christmas show and serves to explain Christmas is not about all the secularization of what we've made it, but it's about the coming of a Savior born in Bethlehem who is Christ the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. God, please get across with very clear understanding the sense of the message this morning, that you gave the gift of hope at Christmas to mankind. For without Jesus Christ, without his resurrection and his promises, we would have no hope here this morning. And without his resurrection, we would be of all people most miserable. Thank you for the gift of hope that you gave to us at Christmas. Bless this message. For your sake I pray, Christ. Amen. The point of these messages will not be to get rid of all the extra stuff, because I like cookies, all right? And I don't mind Christmas trees, to be honest with you. But I don't want us necessarily to get rid of all the trappings and traditions and the celebrations that surround us. But I want us to take a purposeful journey that will lead you to a more deep experience of the true meaning of Christmas. And to see four special gifts, and that's what Advent is, four special gifts that God gave us through Christmas. The gift of hope, which is today. Next week is the gift of love. The third week is the gift of joy, and that's our children's program, and Pastor Aaron will be speaking that Sunday. And then the last Sunday, Christmas Day, or maybe Christmas Eve, and then another message Christmas Day, but peace. The gifts that God gave mankind. Think of those gifts. Hope, love, joy, and peace. Tremendous. So what exactly is Christmas? The word Advent, and we're not used to that word around here, but the word Advent literally means coming or an arrival. In other words, when you came into the door, you arrived or you made an advent to church this morning. When God came into this world, it was his advent. It was his first coming in human form. And so when we say the word Advent, we're talking about the first coming or the incarnation, meaning the God becoming flesh, incarnating, becoming flesh. So Advent is the word that means coming or an arrival, which is a big word. Let me say this. It's a big word when it comes to the person of Jesus Christ's coming. Advent is a very big word. The original or the first Christmas was a season that was marked by expectation. It was marked by waiting. It was marked by anticipation. And it should have been marked by a longing of the people of Israel for their Messiah, right? It should have been marked by the people longing for Messiah to come. Now, but in fact, the wait became so long. Please hear this. The wait became so long that the people became just enamored with life. And then, when suddenly it was God's time to send his son, Israel missed it, didn't they? Israel missed the coming of the one that they had been waiting for and waiting for and waiting for. In fact, think about the millenniums that Israel had been waiting for, the Messiah. Do you ever think about the second coming of Christ? We've been waiting two millenniums, haven't we? Almost two millenniums. The Jews waited for the advent of Christ millenniums. And then when he came, the only people who went was the people to whom God revealed it. Think about that. The shepherds, the magi. They were the only ones, and the magi weren't Jews. When Messiah came, it was totally unexpected because they were so caught up with everyday life that they didn't have their eyes fixed on Jesus' coming. Now, I must admit, Simeon, Anna, they were prepared. They were seeking God, weren't they? And God revealed the Messiah to them. But Advent is not just an expansion of Christmas. It's a season that links, think of this, Christmas is a season that links the past, and when I mean past, I'm talking about millenniums ago, and I think Advent, and we'll see today, that hope has to do with right now, the present, and the future. The Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longings of centuries for the coming of Messiah and to celebrate the beautiful moment of his birth. But the word Advent is to be an alert to us for his second advent, his second coming. Advent looks back upon Christ's first coming in celebration, while at the same time looking forward in eager anticipation to the coming of Christ and his kingdom when he returns for his people and will set up his kingdom on earth. That's his second advent. And so Advent is not just something that we look back upon, it's something that we look forward to. God's great promised kingdom, his great promised kingdom hope offers to mankind throughout Old Testament scriptures and is offered in the coming of Messiah King. And he came to fulfill that first Christmas in the form of a humble birth of a baby. Thus, the long-awaited Advent was, after awaiting millenniums, finally fulfilled in Jesus' human birth. And today, we hope and wait for the consummation of man's hope. And I should say, not only our hope. You know, I hope for a day when all the junk and all the hatred and all the violence and all the war and all the strife and sickness and cancer is all gone. Even the, you know, Scripture says even the creation is groaning, waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ at His second coming. In Isaiah chapter 7, or excuse me, chapter 9, turn there with me to Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to look in some Old Testament scriptures. I said, talking about hope past, Isaiah chapter 9 gives us a good illustration of the hope that's past and it was promised. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. The scripture prophesied, and I should say promised. Think of this now. The scripture God promised this hope. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, and upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So Isaiah talks about hope past. Israel had their hope of their Messiah king and waited for his advent. Likewise today, we wait for this hope. Let me ask you, did God fulfill the hope promise that he gave them 2,000 years ago that Messiah would come? Did he not fulfill that? But he hasn't fulfilled this scripture, has he? Now he did fulfill, if you looked at Isaiah chapter 7 with me, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And if you look at Matthew chapter 1, we find that the name Emmanuel means God with us. So we find the Virgin Mary did conceive and bore a son. And it was fulfilled that prophecy. Now, as a part of the church calendar, many denominations, there are some differences in the way people celebrate Advent, but with the core, it's the core at the same. Today, I went out and bought an Advent wreath. And these four candles symbolize hope, love. This one symbolizes joy. I don't know why they gave the pink to the girls or the joy, but I guess the girls are happier people. I don't know. But the point is, these candles all will symbolize, this first one we'll light today will symbolize the word hope. Hope, and then we'll light a candle each week. Now, the people were walking in darkness, and that's what Advent is about in the lighting of the candles. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on them, on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Now, I hope that we will be brought closer to God through this Christmas season, and that though it's, I wish I could get rid of the frenzied busyness, because I want us to see that Advent is an opportunity to set aside time to prepare our hearts to focus on the person of Jesus Christ. That's what Advent, I wanted to have the preeminence. That Jesus Christ, in his celebration of his Advent, would have the preeminence in our hearts of all the activities. And that the story of God's redeeming love for the world is not shallow, but has deep reality in our hearts. I remember in my own life, my first Christmas, and how just how beautiful it was. My first Christmas that I was saved. Does anybody know what I'm talking about, how beautiful it was? I mean, it held such deep meaning to me. And I remember I went out and I wanted my parents so badly to be saved. So I bought my dad a Bible, an expensive Bible, a leather Scofield Bible. Back then it was the best Bible you could buy. And I bought him this Bible. My daughter Charity has it today. But I then bought him, oh, I'm sorry, I hope I didn't miss something here. I had another slide. Let me see if I can find it. How many of you have ever seen the picture? I want to find this picture. I'm running out. Is it? Eric, nope, that's not it. There it is. Boy. Anybody ever see this picture before? It's a picture of Jesus knocking on the building, the UN building. And my dad was a self-taught man. He lived back in the day when maybe one in 50 people went to college. And he was a very avid reader. He was a practical thinking man. But he was, in his own way, an intellectual, constantly reading. And he loved politics. Most of us won't remember this, maybe we will, but when Nixon was running for president, my dad had a trailer, and he put Nixon banners all over his trailer and rode all over the country promoting President Nixon to be the president. When he won, my dad was offered a job in politics, but he turned it down because he was going to be a building inspector, and he didn't know anything about being a building inspector. So he turned the job down, but that's politics. But I bought my dad this picture of Jesus knocking on the UN, trying to help my dad see that Christ is a global figure. He's not just Methodist, he's not just Baptist. In fact, I don't get into any of that. Christ is the global God of the universe. And I wish that the nations, all the nations, would recognize Jesus Christ as the Lord and worship him. Don't you wish that all the Muslim nations would recognize Jesus Christ as Lord? And I wanted my dad to understand that Christ is a great God and Savior. Now, I need to get back to... Okay. Ben, take me back to the beginning of that slide. You might do me a favor. Okay, you put it up on there. Okay. This first Advent Sunday, as we focus on hope, let's start by looking at what we mean by hope. We often say, and I often think, boy, I hope it doesn't snow this Sunday. I hope it doesn't rain on the church picnic, right? We have a lot of things we hope for. I hope that their cancer is healed. You know, I hope that he comes to Christmas dinner. I hope he doesn't do something, or she doesn't. We have a lot of things that we hope for, but the reality is, I hope I get a job. I hope the world will be at peace. But do you notice the theme? Worldly hope is characterized by doubt. It has an underline with the question of uncertainty and a realization we don't have control over this matter. We hope for things that may or may not happen. But in Jesus, hope is a guarantee. It's a sure thing. Our hope is actually a no-so rather than a maybe-so. So as we unwrap this gift of hope, I hope that I can give you the realization that this is a no-so thing. Hope past. We've talked about these scriptures, and the hope past that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and they would call his name Emmanuel. That happened, didn't it? So that hope is past. It's fulfilled. But the point is, when God gives a hope, you can bank on it. You can bank everything of your life on his hope. Christmas hope, or hope given to man by God, is a certainty. It's not a, I hope something happens. It's a certainty that it will happen. Now, that's important. Israel had hoped and waited and waited and waited, and then missed it when he came. The promise, and this is important to hear, the promise of his coming didn't always make the waiting easy. Does the promise of his second coming make the waiting for him easy? When we suffer, when we go through heartache, when something terrible happens in our lives. So as we prepare for Jesus' second coming, we share this waiting aspect of the people of Israel. Like them, most of us have situations and circumstances in our lives that make it difficult for us to wait on God. We want our problems solved now. And like them, like Israel, we still wait for the complete fulfillment of God's salvation for the world. Yes, many prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus' first coming, but others are yet to be completed when he comes again. So what can the example of Israel's long-awaited hope this Advent season do for us? As we look back on the hope past and seeing the first Advent hope finally fulfilled, we gain confidence and renew our faith in God's promises to us of his second coming. That's an amen. Did you hear that? Think about that. If that's not an amen, I don't have an amen. If the hope that he promised in his first coming was fulfilled, and God is certain that it's going to happen, so he's certain to come again. Now, let me ask you, are you looking for Jesus' second coming? Are you really praying for it? Are you anticipating that it could be today and we could leave this world? Do we live that way? Now, we can find confidence in the fulfillment of Christ's first arrival. Let this season be a journey of building a confident hope as you wait for his second coming. Now let's look at another scripture, and that is the hope present. A hope present. What hope do you have today? I'm not talking about of the future second coming. What hope do you have today with your daily life and the issues that you're facing? What hope do you have? What hope do you have for that wayward child? What hope do you have for your battles with depression or cancer? What hope do you have to deal with the things that you have in life that are struggle? I want to ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And let's look at the hope that God has given to us. That is a great hope. In Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. Did you hear that? God can't lie. Then he goes on in verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. The word strong is the word, mighty strong. You and I have a mighty strong consolation. And what is that mighty strong consolation that we have that God can't lie about? We who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that's set before us. What's the hope that's set before us? The second coming. Now, verse 19, this hope, and the word is supplied there, but goes back to verse 18, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become the high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, what I want you to catch is, how strong is that hope right now? How strong is the word of your hope right now? How strong is the consolation the word strong gives you? Strong consolation by this hope. And that hope is Jesus behind the veil. What's he talking about? He's talking about the person of Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father. How strong is the comfort you have in the person of Jesus Christ right now for what you're going through? There is no stronger comfort. There is no greater encouragement. There is no greater hope that you could ever possibly have than Jesus Christ. And he says that this hope is an anchor. And really, the hope holds you. You don't hold on to that hope. That hope is always there. He's always there to help you with your needs and hopes. He's always there. Hope present. He's always there, and he's God's resource. Jesus Christ is God's resource to you for whatever you need in life. And he is right there in the Holy of Holies with God. And you can have no stronger place of hope in this world than hope in Jesus Christ. And that's a hope that will hold you when the winds of life blow against you ferociously. And we have some ferocious winds around here, don't we? I mean, think about when these weather changes happen. The winds blow. And I mean, I can have things nailed down and they blow away. But there's a place and thing that never will blow away. Will never change. He's immutable. He's unchangeable. And he's a hope that you have right now if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have a hope present that's greater than any hope you ever could dream of. He's your hope. And he is sufficient for whatever your hope would be. Because we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. And that's an important point. And I hope that you have that, the sense that that hope is secure. That hope is always there in Jesus Christ. He is your hope. Hope present. Now let's go and conclude with the hope future.
I apologize.
The hope future. Look at it with me if you would. The hope future. I'll get there, forgive me. I'm not used to having all and going by notes, to be honest with you. I don't like notes. With our focus leading up to Christmas, it's natural to focus on the birth of Christ. It's natural to focus on His first coming, His first advent. But Advent is also about the future. Advent is not just about preparing our hearts for Christmas, but also about preparing our hearts so that we may not be ashamed when Christ arrives again for us. And you may find that waiting patiently for the second coming of Jesus is far harder than preparing your hearts for this Christmas, December 25th. But the principle is the same. We long for the time when all will be restored and made new. We experience the pain and the suffering today and wait in eager hope for the future. That is where our hope lies. Emmanuel, who was born in a stable in Bethlehem, will return again and eventually cast Satan and his demonic angels into the lake of fire and complete the work of God in our world, which will ultimately include a new heaven and a new earth. And so we wait, placing our hope in Him for the past, the present, and the future. It's a big picture of our faith that God plans for our world. In Titus chapter 2, Paul writes these words in verse 11 through 14, "For the grace of God that brings salvation to us has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do good works." It's hard to be patient. It's hard to wait. But I encourage you to lean in and unwrap the gift of hope today. No matter what the department stores try to tell you, Christmas is different than the world. This Advent, a season of preparing, of waiting, of expectation, there is value as well as excitement in the patient expectation and waiting of Christ. There was a czar, and that's the Russian czar, Peter the Great. And this Russian czar was kind of a charismatic figure. And on rare occasions, but on a couple occasions, he would go out into the villages of Russia dressed like a peasant. And he would knock on people's doors looking for somebody who would share a meal with him. And you can imagine if somebody came up and knocked on your door dressed like a street person, how might you receive them? But this was back when people were very poor. And to be honest with you, they hardly had enough for themselves. But when this czar knocked on this elderly man's house, he invited him in and set a meal before this beggar, Peter the Great. And Peter the Great ate that meal. He said, "Why don't you stay overnight?" And he stayed overnight at his house and left the next morning. The next day, a chariot came, pulled up in front of this elderly man's house. And out of this enclosed chariot stepped Peter the Great. And he took this man and he said, "I want you to come and live with me in the palace." you receive me. And what an illustration and a picture. If we will receive and welcome and generously give our lives in Jesus' name to love and help people, that when we get to heaven, Christ will reward us too. He will reward us. And if Peter the Great would do that for an elderly gentleman, I guarantee you, as you prepare your life for Christmas, as you prepare your heart to seek Jesus Christ in a living and fresh way this Christmas, as you prepare with hope and not all the gifts and not all the junk of Christmas that we so oftentimes make Christmas. We make Christmas into, sometimes I feel, a joke and miss the Christ of Christmas. That is something very seriously to think about. I hope that you'll prepare your heart for Christ and to welcome Him into your lives in welcoming others and receiving others who need our help at Christmas. Hope. Hope. The first message of what God gives us at Christmas. Hope. A hope that is certain. And just as He came the first time, God has sworn He'll come again. He is coming again. Just as sure as Christmas will come, even more sure than December 25th will come, Christ is coming again. Let's pray together. We thank You, Lord, for the hope that You gave us at Christmas, the hope of the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. The hope that the world cannot take away from us. The present hope that we have a high priest behind the veil and that we can come to You with confidence, with complete assurance that You are hope for all our needs in life. You are the hope we need most of all. Please help us this Christmas to praise and thank You for the gift of hope. In Jesus' name, amen.